I know that when Johnny, who is in Idaho and he should be headed back home tomorrow, is here leading worship service, and when Caleb is, they're always talking to you about the coming of the Lord. And I heard Caleb exercise you this morning. If it was your first day in heaven, how enthused would you be, and how what a wonderful place it would be. But let me tell you something. If we would get our eyes open this morning, and we could see what God is doing for us as a people. And just like the time when the prophet had to tell his servant, Lord, open his eyes that he can see what's around. I believe that the angels of God are with us today. Now, you know this has been my subject now for the past several weeks, and you may be wondering, well, Brother Green, are you ever going to get through with it? Well, let me tell you, how many of you are expecting an angel to come gather you? Now, I've taught that two Sundays now, that it's prophesied that he will send his angels to gather us. And if we don't believe in angels, then you haven't read the message. You haven't read your Bible. There's 1,067 quotes of Brother Branham in the years that he ministered that we have on 1,182 tapes, where Brother Branham talks about the reality of the angels. And I'll venture to say that 95% of the people that follow this message, they don't believe in angels. Brother Branham said, we don't have angels around because we don't believe in them. Now, how can God do something if he wants to do something and we won't believe it when he does it? But what difference would it make in your life if you knew that there was an angel of God with you? What difference would you do and treat somebody else if you knew they had an angel of God with them? Now, this is what I have come to believe. Now, whether it's in your theology or your philosophy or whatever it is, you may say, we don't need them, we don't have them. You can't show me that in your Bible. You can't show me that in Brother Branham's message. Now, I believe personally that that's the reason we don't have any better understanding of what Brother Branham brought us, because we don't even understand basic what the angels are sent to us for. They are sent to us to help our understanding. You may say, well, that's what the Holy Spirit is for. I can show you more quotes where the angels help people understand things than the Holy Spirit. I'll just give you an example of Brother Branham, and you argue with that one. How many years did Brother Branham go from hearing voices and feeling led to do something that he didn't understand it, until finally one day it happened and he told his wife, I'm not going to come back until I understand this. And he went away to Green's Mill, Boy Scout Camp, 14 Mile Creek, Ranger's Cabin, the Cave, whatever place you want to. They're all synonymous. They're all in the same area. And an angel came to him. And what did the angel tell him? I am sent from the presence of Almighty God to tell you what your strange life is. And Brother Branham asked him questions. Why don't my brothers understand what I am? Why do they believe this is of the devil? And that angel said, do you remember in the day of our Lord? Right. Brother Branham said, that's when he knew that that angel was not Jesus Christ. Amen. But that angel helped him to understand what his ministry was. And he became so dependent on it that I can show you about seven times where Brother Branham is in a meeting. He's saying, now you know I'm waiting on something. I'm just as helpless as you are. Right. Now, was Brother Branham just talking? Was he given a psychology? Or when he said, he's here, did something happen? Amen. He said, he's standing here not 3 feet from me right now. Right. How many times did Brother Branham see that angel? He saw him once as a man, 200 pounds. The rest of the time he saw him as the pillar of fire. He saw him and felt him as a presence that was with him. And he would tell us where that pillar of fire moved to. Now, you may say, well, Brother Green, I don't know about that. We're not all supposed to have it. Do you mean to tell me that the angel of the Lord does not encamp around about us? Does that mean we do not fear God? The scripture says it encamps round about us that fear Him. The Bible says it's sent there to protect us. The Lord has given it to us. And I told you when this first started in my life was when Brother Billy Paul gave the testimony about his father being in the office with him and little Paul coming in disturbing him. And three times Billy sent him back to Lois. And the third time Billy swatted the kid on the diaper. And Brother Bram just got up and got his hat and his papers and so forth and said, "Billy, I'm through." "Daddy, we're not through." "Yes, we are, Billy." "Why, Daddy?" "Because when you struck that kid a while ago, you made his angel mad, and I'm not going to stay here." Amen. Now, my thought when I come up with that, I think of Brother Earl Metcalf. When he stood here in this pulpit and challenged us, wouldn't it be a wonderful atmosphere if all of us just decided we was going to love God with all of our heart and obey everything that we knew to do, and we were going to be Christians and follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we all obeyed God? And if God has given us angels to help us, wouldn't it be wonderful for us all to be dependent on Him? And when we came to service this morning, if we would come with that belief that we would be in the presence of the brothers and the sisters, the bride of Christ, amen, and His holy angels, yes, which God has given us. And what does Paul say in Hebrews 1:14? They are sent as spirits to minister to each of us. Now you may say, "I don't need them." You don't find people in the Bible saying that. In fact, if you look in the Old Testament, you will find 13 major events that occurred in your Bible that the Scripture says were things that happened to show us what was and what is and as an example for us in nowadays. And how many of those can you name? The first one was Hagar. Then there was Abraham. Then there was Jacob, wrestled with one all night long. Abraham was told one would go before him. And every one of those stories you know. There's a couple of them I found in the Bible that I wasn't too familiar with. One of them was a man by the name of Manoah. And I was very interested in his because, well, I'll tell you what, let me just read it to you from the Scriptures because it fits something that I want to do. I wasn't planning on doing it, but let's do it anyhow. They don't have it back there, but it's in Judges chapter 13. And it's verses 3, 6, 9, 13. But I'm going to just, let me just show you this. The angel of the Lord appeared unto them, his countenance like the angel of God. The angel of God came again unto them. The angel of the Lord said unto Manoah. Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, an angel of the Lord. Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord said unto him, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame. The angel did no more appear. Manoah knew that this was the angel of God. Look at this conversation these things had. Now, I was forced to come to this because a couple of years ago, things began to happen in my life. I was hearing voices. And I was always told, you know, when you're an old man, you start hearing voices and you start talking to yourself, you're losing your mind. But I knew there was something more to this. And I began to search the Scriptures. And when I found the 1,067 quotes that Brother Branham made about them, and I realized that God has sent us angels to help us and to minister to us and to help us understand the things that we don't understand. We don't worship angels. They don't do miracles. They don't heal us. They are not the Lord. And Brother Branham makes that distinction. Whenever that angel told him, "Do you remember in the day of our Lord when they didn't believe?" Brother Branham said, "Then I knew that wasn't Jesus." Another thing Brother Branham had already had, where he had seen the Lord out in the sagebrush field behind his dad's house. when he's out there praying for his father. And he said the Jesus he saw was a small man. This angel that he saw weighed 200 pounds. And Brother Branham makes the distinction. Just like Paul, there was a time when he stood on board a ship and he told the centurion, he said, an angel stood by me. But that was different than that pillar of fire he met on the road to Damascus. Because that one said, I am Jesus. And there is a distinction. Now people will talk about the presence of the Lord, but you'll find more cases and more examples in your Bible where God sent angels to help his people. Now, the thing I'm coming down to in this, to this congregation, and I'm not responsible for the rest of the world, but I am you people. Brother Branham said there should be a book of Acts written behind us. And when I read the book of Acts, I cannot take out the 55 verses that pertain to angels. And when you look at them, and we'll get into those, maybe this morning, maybe next week, but whenever it is, well, I'll just tell you this. I had a conversation this week. And I asked the question, why can't I explain to these people what you've already said to me? And that voice that's talking to me said, you can't explain it to them until they believe it. And so until you believe in angels, what I tell you has been told to me, it'll do you no good. It may tempt you to gaze at it as they did on the Mount Sinai. Right. It may tempt you to make fun of it. And I don't want to put you in that position of jeopardy. I am not lying to you people. There is something for us that we have missed. We've had 40 years with the revelation of the seals. And we're more divided, more separated, hate one another worse than we ever did before. You say hate? Well, if you say, well, I love Brother Green, but I don't want to have nothing to do with him. Well, what is that? That's not love. That's passive hatred. If you truly love somebody, you could stand toe-to-toe and bitterly disagree with them and still love them. And until we have got that perfect love in our life, we're not ready to be raptured to witness a resurrection or to see the mighty things that God has for His bride. As I said, I can't do anything about the rest of the world, but it does seem that I have a voice that what I say, people either repeat it correctly or incorrectly, because I usually get it back that, hey, did you know Perry Green said so-and-so today and so-and-so today? They're not interested in hearing the truth. They're too busy finding something wrong because they hate me. What have I done to these people? I have crossed their theological boundaries. Wouldn't it be wonderful if people just loved one another? I have given my life, the last 45 years of it, and I can very easily keep up with how many years I've been here because that's the number of Super Bowls they're playing. The first one was played the first year I was here, and isn't this 44 today or 45? That's how many years I've been here. And I have, well, in 2 years before that, I was following a message, trying to learn it when people would let me in. But if I found out then, if I didn't interpret what they believed, Brother Branham believed, I wasn't even in then. And it's been the same ever since. And I have said this world over. If you hear me say something that I can't show you the Bible says or Brother Branham said, do me a favor. Show me where I've said it wrong. I am teachable. I am correctable. But don't bring me your interpretation. I believe every word Brother Branham said, but I don't believe everybody's interpretation of it. And that's what so many people judge you by. If they have an understanding of the brown bear or of the tent or of any other thing else with Brother Branham or the rock Moses stood on and you differ with that, you're not a brother anymore. You're an unbeliever. You're not fit to be even worshipped with, much less spoken to in a grocery store. and we call ourselves bride? No wonder the angels are not with us as they're supposed to be. Why did the people in the book of Acts believe in angels? Why did Peter in the first sermon he preached, why did he mention the angel that appeared to Moses three times? You see, now they didn't have the New Testament. They only had the Old Testament. But you know, there were people in the New Testament that they believed in angels. They believed enough that they believed an angel came down in troublesome waters. And there were people that had laid by that pool for 20 or 30 years believing that because they believed in angels. And Jesus never come along and did away with that. But I believe that Peter, I believe even that Paul, when he followed the way of the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin, I believe that he believed in angels. He said he did. Whenever Peter gets up and he mentions about Moses in the book of Exodus, seeing an angel, he's talking about a burning bush. He never saw an angel. But let me give you a new mystery today. Let's look at Daniel. I think I've got three verses in there. Oh, and let me leave right here before I forget this. The last three Wednesday nights in this church has been historical. Three Wednesday nights ago, Brother Robert Figueroa preached a message entitled Conflict. And he explained as well as I've ever heard anybody in the world tell us what battle we're in right now. That's the battle that's going on within all of us. White dog, black dog. From the scriptures and Brother Branham's message. And it was true enough that I said that Robert Figueroa didn't preach it. There was an anointing on him that preached it. And I've made it mandatory hearing for everybody that calls me pastor. Do we have them available in the office this morning? You get your copy. You take it home. You listen to it on a monthly basis until you realize the conflict you're in. Now, Wednesday night was a week ago. I asked him to preach again because I felt led to. And I really wanted to see if Robert could come up with something as an encore. And he didn't, but the Lord did. And I will say this, that a man has to be inspired by God to take this battle that we're in and take it from the beginning, even before the world, and bring it out to the end of victory for the believer.
Amen.
And do it in less than an hour. A preacher don't do that. We repeat and meander and filler and everything else, but Brother Robert didn't do that. That's the reason I say Robert Figueroa didn't preach it. Now that one's available too. And then last Wednesday night it was Brother Newton's turn, per my suggestion. And I just wondered to myself, one reason was I wasn't sure I could follow Brother Robert for those two Wednesday nights. You know, some people may not pay no attention to that. They may just run in where angels fear to trod with hobnailed shoes. But I don't. I believe when God's doing something for a people, we need to be careful and pay attention to what He's saying. But Brother Newton spoke, and he took a very popular subject. Love, forgiveness, understanding. And folks, as I sat and listened to it, I just rejoiced inside of me. It would be so simple for us as Christians and believers to have the presence of Almighty God and the dwelling of all the Holy Spirit and the angels and the gifts of the Spirit if we would just learn the simple lesson of love and forgiveness. And understanding each other. How simple Brother Branham made it. Walk in another man's moccasins before you judge him. Perfect love is, is based on forgiveness. And unless you can forgive, you cannot be forgiven. And as I sat and listened to it, I just felt wonderful all over. Because I said, Lord, that's what I want to do. Brother Brown preached Beyond the Curtain of Time, and we all know you're not going to make it without perfect love. But yet we justify ourselves, if this one does this, well, hey, we're just going to tell you about it so you know how to pray for them. When really you're putting them down. When you're living your life for other people, you're looking heaven in the face. Lift somebody up, restore them, mend them, correct them. Do what God did for you. So I'm suggesting, if you wasn't here Wednesday night, and I think Wednesday night was the smallest crowd that I've ever witnessed on a Wednesday night in this church. We had about 50 people. Now, to some, that's the size of their congregation. And I often say our Wednesday night and Sunday night crowd, today, as Caleb said, 275. Maybe tonight it'll be down to 150. See, that's not a small crowd. It's just the building's too big. If we had a church the size of the chapel, we'd be packed out. You know, Wednesday night when we was down to 50, we usually have about 120 or 30. But it was down to 45, and I thought, well, did they not appreciate what Brother Robert had to say the other day? And he come to me, you just really are not as enthused about being closer to God and living a victorious life as you could be. I can't think of anything more important than you being close to God at this hour in which we live. We have it too easy, too soft, too plentiful. Now, back to Daniel. Daniel was in prison. He'd been taken captivity by Nebuchadnezzar. He had heard a prophet, Jeremiah, say something about 70 years. And when he got to be 68 years that he'd been there, Daniel started seeking God. Lord, I've been here 68 years. There's two more to go. What did he mean when he said 70 years? And he began to seek God. And let's go to Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 through 18, and read this, because this is a mystery to me now. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days, now that's the Lord, or that's God, did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him. Now, who were these? That's angels. Now, if you don't take my word for it, I can show you where Brother Brown said there were angels. Now, that's a lot of angels. How many is 1,000,000? You're talking about billions and trillions now, or billions. And 10,000 times 10,000, oh, that gets even more.
Amen.
Stood before him, the judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days. And Brother Bram talked about that being the coming of the Lord. And they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and language should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed.
Amen.
We believe that's coming, don't we?
Yes.
I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. Just like Brother Branham asked that angel. Just like I have been foolish enough spiritually to ask this that's talking to me. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. Here is a purpose of the angels, one of them, to help us understand what is happening to us. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom. Now, folks, excuse me, but I'm in that number. I believe I'm in that number. And possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Brother Brennan said, you need to find yourself in there somewhere. And that's one place I find myself. Another one is when John was told, come here and I'll show you the bride. I believe I was in that number.
Yes, amen.
I can remember the first time I ever said that, this congregation stood up and shouted. The next time I mentioned it, I was at a camp up in, where'd we go up there with Brother Houghton and them? Brother Minna, you may have been there. And I talked about that, and I shouted across the platform, and Brother Houghton and everybody up there, they got up and shouted too. I said, there's Perry Green there. And they got up and shouted. But I tell you now, Perry Green was in that number. Come on, aren't you folks happy for me?
Amen.
I'm in that number that John, when he saw the bride pass. I'm in that number. My name's Perry Green. I was there.
Amen.
Amen. You can put yourself there.
Amen.
Then why don't you stand up and say, hallelujah. You know why? It's got to be old stuff to us. Brother, we've done what Brother Branham told us not to do. Do not lose your enthusiasm for the coming of the Lord. I regret to say, but you can talk to some people about that. Oh, that happened in 63. I'm sorry. I'm disappointed in the rapture if it happened then, because I didn't see anybody in a state of ecstasy I believe we're going to be in. And I know I haven't seen the dead in Christ rise. And I know I have not been translated. I know this body has not been changed. I see too much carnality and too much corruption. There's going to be a change. And that's the only reason that Brother Green says there's something to happen. That's the danger of somebody saying it did happen. They say, oh, well, not all of it, but some of it. And I don't find Brother Branham making statements like that. Some of it didn't. Brother Branham said, I don't know. It told me this, but it didn't tell me that. Why can't we say all of it? Why we can't just admit we've all come short of really what God... I believe it's past due. And how can it happen until we begin to believe it correctly? If he's to come with his angels, and he's to send them to gather us, and it's possible for us to see them and entertain them unawares, when are we going to get our eyes open and be willing to say, even so, Lord, whatever you say?
Yes.
When we got these promises, that'll be ours forever. Two more group of verses from Daniel. Let's go to verse 19 through 27 in Daniel. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not. For thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. What he was doing was repenting for his own carnality. That's what we need to do too. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel. Now, there's my mystery. In the book of Daniel, don't use the word angel. Not a time. But how do you believe Gabriel was an angel? But what does the scripture say? Even the man. I am Gabriel. I've come from the presence of Almighty God. I started 3 weeks ago, 21 days ago, but I was hindered. I spent one whole evening looking at this. Why does the scripture say even the man Gabriel? When all the other places in the Bible it says as an angel. Stephen saw him, it was as the face of an angel. When they saw Peter, they said, oh, that's his angel. People believed in angels, but here in Daniel, it even calls him by name. Called him a man. I came up with these thoughts. We think about angels today, we only think about the church age messengers. And they were men. It's like Brother Branham said, there's no female angels. But I had a brother come to me at Harmony the other day and said, Brother Green said, I've seen an angel. And I said, okay, where? And he said, well, you said there wasn't no women angels. And I said, no, brother, that's what Brother Branham says. He said, well, I saw one. I said, well, okay, when? He said, the other night when Sally Duke got anointed. I saw an angel. I think I understood what he said. He said, that's the most genuine sincerity I've seen since I've been in the message. How many were there when the presence of the Lord came down and struck Sister Sally Duke when she was singing, I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
Amen.
I believe there was a genuine anointing.
Yes.
I told Brother Bobby Wirtz after service, I said, Bobby, you did exactly the right thing. He went up there and helped her get off the stage. Because when that happens to a person, and the people are sitting out there and they're carnal just observing this, they have no appreciation for this. But how do you think maybe Zechariah felt when he went into that holiest of holies? Afraid for his life because he had that thing tied around him, around his sash to pull him out if God killed him. And he goes down and he finds an angel. And an angel starts telling him about his son, John the Baptist, which wasn't even born. Those people believed in angels. But what if somebody come along today and told you something like that happened? What if Mary had said, wait a minute, I don't know you, sir. And what was his name? What if Joseph, even in the dream, had said, I don't believe in you. No, that's not for me. I'm going to tell you, folks, you could do away with the Gospels. Because there's 55 occasions in there where angels did something. They were there at the resurrection. They were there at the ascension. And they are the book of Acts. They are the New Testament. I mean the Old Testament. What happened then? And how did Jacob become from a supplanter to a prince of Israel? An experience with an angel overnight.
Amen.
What smote him on the side? Why is it been on when he wanted his kids to do something? He said, put your hand here where that angel touched me. You take Brother Branham's ministry. You take the angelic experiences out of it, and what have you got? Oh, we got a prophet. Really? Where'd he get the prophetic message from?
Amen.
Where'd he get the seals from? Didn't he say himself he read all the books and everything? Larkin and Smith and all of them? And Phillips and Schaefer. And he'd go in here and this one said this and this one said this. And he said he'd go in the room and there'd be an atmosphere coming there. And it was because there was an angel there instructing him, helping him to understand it.
Amen.
But you and I don't need them. We've got our own theological understanding of things. And when I feel like something supernaturally has occurred that I cannot explain, and I get up and tell people about it, they make fun of it. And I'd rather just keep it to myself. But God give me the courage to tell you people to help me understand that there are things being shown to the world today from ancient manuscripts and from carvings and from archaeological discoveries, that they all point to the end of the world. And we have nothing to do with them. You see, Brother Branham read a letter that Mary, he called it Mary's Belief. And if you just read that, you'd know that it's like when Brother Branham read Prince of the House of David. And that girl Anna from Egypt, when she wrote about blind Bartimaeus having a seeing eye lamb. Somebody said, oh, Brother Branham had a vision of that. He did no such thing. I've got the book over where he marked it and where he read it. But what is it was about him that he understood those things?
Amen.
Brother Branham was able to take these things he read and he heard, and by the anointing of God and the presence of an angel, which he said gave him a divine gift that he had nothing to do with it coming. It was administered to him by an angel of God.
Amen.
How many times does Moses confess that and Paul confess that? What helped Peter from the time he denied the Lord to the time he got up and preached and 3,000 were saved? What happened to him? He had a couple of angelic visions or visits. When he come to get him out of jail, he didn't want to go. They made him go. And then when he got to the house where they were having a prayer meeting, praying for his deliverance, and he knocks on the door. You're mistaken. That can't be him. It's Peter. No, it's his angel. I tell you this, I want you to see this, because I think we have all entertained angels.
Yes.
And perceived it not.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that what the scripture tells us? I have visited you, I have done these things, and you have perceived them not. Let's open our eyes, folks.
Amen.
Let's open our heart. If you truly want an understanding of what God's doing nowadays, don't just read about the news of Iran and the weapons and so forth, but ask God to give you understanding. And one much more capable than I am is able to visit you. And you need to learn to recognize that it's not something you may see, but it's something you will hear. And if somebody else is standing there, they may not even hear it either. But it'll speak louder to you than anything you've ever heard, because you know it came from God.
Amen.
If we are to become sons of God, we must be led by the Spirit. And if we will not be led by the Spirit, because we say, well, you know, I felt led to do this, or we'd rather even say, a little bird told me. Or I had this little funny feeling around my leg, you know, or I had these goosebumps. I want you to know God's greater than that.
Yes,
sons of God, march forward.
Amen.
Stand up and be counted.
Amen.
I don't know why, but this has come to mind about three times while I've been standing up here. You know, up in North Battleford, Canada, up above where Brother Minow and them live, there was a revival struck up there one time. And Brother Branham told me personally that that was the nicest thing to perfect love that ever struck this earth. And there was a group of Bible school students there. The Clemences. The Wallaces. Some of those people were involved with that. And what were they? Were young people. And they had gone to Brother Branham's meeting in Saskatoon. And they had been stirred like they'd never been stirred in their life. There was about four or five tables of them for lunch. But when they got back to that Bible school, they were so busy seeking God and a closer walk with Him and a revelation in their own heart of what they'd seen in Brother Branham's life and ministry, that there wasn't enough students at a lunch table to fill up one table. And because they sought God, there was what the world come to call as a latter rain revival. And as it spread from there and got all the way down to South Texas where I was, I know what it did. There wasn't a Pentecostal church in the entire area of the state. Trinity, oneness, two-ness, whatever they call themselves, that didn't begin to fellowship and love one another. And Brother Branham said where they went wrong is they started imparting gifts to one another. And they started looking to men for this instead of letting the Holy Spirit do this in their life. I say that that is available to us today. If we begin to believe God and begin to perceive what God is doing for us. Now, if you're looking for something with a halo and feathery wings and a white robe, you may not see it. But I believe that God is visiting us today. And I ask Him as the pastor of this church to open our eyes. Open our ears that we may hear and we may see and we may recognize what God's doing for us. What He wants to do. And I don't believe it's going to be just this group of people. But it takes somebody to start it somewhere. And I got as much right to be a part of it as anybody because Brother Branham said I was good at starting things. I believe that there's going to be something sweep over us as a group of believers. And all it's going to take is just a few to really love the Lord. Just like the little girl in the Welsh revival. A group of about 12 or 13 young people got together and were just given a little testimony service of what the Lord meant to them. One timid little teenage girl that couldn't hardly speak her name publicly without being embarrassed just stood and said very softly, "I just love the Lord Jesus." And the way she said it convicted the others. And the Welsh revival started.
Amen.
And it went all over the world. How many of you today hear Caleb and Johnny and all of them say, "You love the Lord? You glad to be in the house of God today?" And it's become repetitious with us. We'll clap our hands and give Him a praise offering, but can we say, "Lord, I love You.
Amen.
Lord, I truly love You."
Right.
How long has it been that you really courted Him and said, "Lord, I love You"? I believe that's the reason that Brother Branham was as successful as he was with his ministry. Because he did love the Lord Jesus. I know the first Wednesday night he was ever in the tabernacle down at the old synagogue building. And I opened the service up for a testimony service because Brother Barney Caber and some other preachers were there. And I wanted to give them an opportunity to say something. To my surprise, when I opened the floor, Brother Branham, sitting back there, was the first one to his feet. And said, "Brother Green, I just want to take another opportunity to say I love the Lord Jesus."
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, it affected every one of us there. I heard Nadine say amen under her breath then because she was there. But do you really know what it means to really love the Lord? It means to love everybody else.
Yes. Amen.
And wouldn't that be wonderful? You stand around, you sit around, you got one feeling of awe against in your heart against anybody else. And it grieves God. You say you love the Lord and you don't love that one, even your enemy, you're a liar.
Amen.
And all liars will have their part in the lake of fire.
Yes.
He may repent now and say, "Lord, help me to perceive."
Amen.
In my own heart, in my own life, what I need to do. I got another section of Daniel to read here. Where was I with that one? "Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning," I had seen him before, but now he sees him in person, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. How many of you want that to happen to you? Lord, let me forget my ideas and my interpretation of the prophet's message, and would you send your angel to give me understanding? I'm sure Gabriel had his own thoughts about it. I mean, Daniel had his own thoughts. But they were not what God had in mind. And he informed me and talked with me, and at the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. And that was the sixfold purpose. One, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Amen. To know therefore and understand that from the beginning forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem, unto the Messiah the prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublesome times. And Brother Bram said, unless you can get Daniel 70 weeks, you can't get the seals.
Right.
He said, until you get this in order, you can't get the seals. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and I believe we're in this area. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And I go back to verse 21. Even the man, Gabriel. Daniel perceived that he was talking to something supernatural. Open our eyes, Lord, that we can see today.
Yes, amen.
The prophetic scriptures where you said that in the last days, the end time, you'll send your angels to minister to us and to help us understand. The Lord Jesus did that with his prophet, Brother Branham. At the beginning of his ministry in the 40s, at the end of his ministry in 63 and 65. Even when Brother Brown kept talking about the Feast of the Trumpets, finally, angel of the Lord told him, that's got nothing to do with the bride.
Right.
Brother Branham, in his own thinking, everything else, I want to do this. But it finally told him, it has nothing to do with the bride.
Amen.
Some people don't even believe what Brother Branham said the angel told him. They still have their own understanding of it. Open our eyes today, Lord. Let us see Jesus. I believe in angels because they were in the Old Testament. They were in the New Testament. They're prophesied in scriptures to be here in the last days. Brother Branham saw them and believed in them. I believe in a resurrection and angels involved in that. But I also believe in angels because I have perceived them in my own life. There are things today that men cannot understand. At least I couldn't. But I believe that God has sent his angels. I want to get to the place to where I feel comfortable, that I won't be telling you something you'll laugh about. Because I think that would be dangerous. I'd rather not tell you. But there are some things that we just cannot comprehend in our in our interpretation of the current events unless we see the spiritual meaning of them. We are living in a very dangerous time. The scripture in Zechariah talks about whenever the nations gather against Israel. I think of the prophecy that the Armenian people had when they left Armenia and came to America. That Granddad Shikarian's friend, as a little boy, 9 years old, had that vision and caused those people to move from there to Downey, California. They became Brother Branham's friends. And before that man died, he wrote a letter that told them there would be another impending destruction. And that letter, the last I heard, was in safekeeping of the group of people over there that's in an Armenian church. And when Brother Dima Shikarian came to the tabernacle years ago and told us the story of this letter, I told him then it cannot be anything different than what Brother Branham saw happening in Los Angeles. Because all they know is there's going to be another impending destruction. And folks, when we hear of the earthquakes, starting in Alaska and all the way down to Chile and around the Ring of Fire, even the ones over here in the Caribbean now, every one of those should be a sign to you and I. Amen. There's birth pains taking place. The majority of you people that are here this morning, you came from California. Because of what the angel gave, or Brother Branham prophesied about the California earthquake. But it's grown so common to us now, you go back over there for a vacation to Disneyland. There was a time when you'd run from it. We would have been better had the Lord come in the 60s. And to wait now until we got so revelated and so divided and so despiteful against anybody who differs with us. I go back and say we need what Brother Bennett taught us Wednesday night. Love and forgiveness and understanding. And remember the lesson I learned the hard way. You will not get everybody to agree with you. So don't say that you'll love them when they start agreeing with you. The truth is you must love them. And then let God deal with the other part of it. That's the utopia, is you loving them, not them loving you. You'll not be held accountable if they despise you. You must love them. And I don't mean just say it. I mean go out of your way. And when you say, well, they don't believe like I believe. Well, what makes you so sure you're right? I've never been that absolute certain. In fact, if I know my heart, sometimes I'm grieved so bad, I'd say, Lord, let me be the one that's wrong so that I can do something about it. Because I see some and they become so hard and so resentful of anybody who differs with them until they find themselves justified to be so anti-Christian, anti-word, so much so that I think sometimes they bring a reproach on Brother Branham's message. And I'm not the one to accuse them, but I know this, it makes you feel a whole lot better when you love everybody. And I think when you start living a life to where you realize they have angels and you have one, and there's a revival takes place when one sinner comes to repentance. Yes. You let one person that's backslid or one sinner come in, the angels around us start rejoicing, and you'll find all of us, we pucker up, our voice changes, tears flow in our eyes. Why? Why? Because that's God's will, is that all men would be saved.
Yes.
Not that we'd all be right in our denominated attitude. You know what's going to happen to the kingdom of God? The believers are going to inherit it forever and forever and ever. Are you glad you're in that number?
Yes.
So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. So glad your mercy has followed me. So glad you found me and set me free. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. You're really glad to be part of that? So glad I'm yours, Lord. Stand together, please. Mercy rewrote my life. Mercy rewrote my life. And again. Yes, mercy. Going to live the way Jesus, I ask you today to take the words that's from your scriptures, the words of your prophet, and send your angels to help us to understand them, Lord. You teach us what we need to know that'll cause us all to become receptive to whatever you have to say to us by your Spirit. Let us learn to perceive you, O God. There were those that knew you had risen from the dead that didn't even recognize you. You had visited men before and had not paid any attention to you. Don't let us be like that, Lord. Open our eyes that we can truly see what you've got for us. Because I say we need you. In Jesus' name, amen. One time, I need thee, oh, I need thee, before we go. I need thee, oh. service tonight at 5 o'clock, the Lord willing. Come and let's see what God has for us. In the meantime, seek the Lord. Most of the time when these angels appear, it's people are meditating. Brother Branham said, that's when he comes near, when you're thinking about him. Don't expect to happen while you're having a jolly great time or celebrating something or watching some sporting event or just having fun with friends. Set your mind on him. Daniel said these things happened while he was in prayer, repenting. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. As you go this morning, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Yes.